It was in June of 1872 that there was a young wife, 37 years old, mother of three, who lived in Brooklyn, New York. She was going around cleaning her house that morning in June of 1872. Her name was Annie Hawks. And as she was cleaning her house that morning and doing those regular household tasks that were involved, she began to think about how close she felt with the Lord. She began to think about how close she felt with the Lord and how she felt that she was there in His very presence, and how she felt like not only He was there, but she was in His presence and just felt so close to Him. And she began to wonder, how can people live without the Lord? She began to think about, you know, whether you've got a life that's good or a life that's not so good, a life of joy or a life of pain. She began to wonder, how can anybody make it without the Lord? So this 37-year-old mother of three sat down, and she wrote out in 1872 the words that we have in our songbook, to "I Need Thee Every Hour." I want you to get your songbooks tonight. We're going to have a sound check tonight, and we have these occasionally, and not a sound of how our voices sound, but a sound of how our hearts sound. Look at number 288, and that's going to be the basis of our lesson tonight, are these words that Annie Hawks wrote in 1872 when she thought about how much she needed the Lord. It was a song that quickly became used around the country. It didn't take long for it to become well known. It became used throughout Great Britain. And, you know, it wasn't until about 16 years later, when her husband died, that Annie herself began to feel the real import of these words. And she wrote in her own words, she said, "I did not even understand what these words meant to others until I had the shadow of loss fall upon me. And then I realized just how much I needed the Lord." I want us to think tonight, how much do we need the Lord? And this lesson tonight sort of dovetails with that lesson this morning as we try to emphasize this month, I'm not ashamed to rely on God. And I'm not ashamed to say to God, "I need You." And as we go through these lessons on these sound checks, you know, sometimes when sound guys set up their sound system, they'll check the mics, they'll check the speakers. They want to make sure everything is just right, the levels are right, see if there's any adjustments that are needed before those microphones are actually used. When we come together to sing, God's not listening to our voices and how our voices are blending. He's listening to our hearts. We need to make sure our hearts are tuned in, that our hearts are rightly tuned, and that our hearts are really thinking about the melody that we're making. Do we truly mean it when we say and when we sing, "I need Thee every hour"? Before we get to these four verses, I want you to think about the title of this song. The title of this song says, "I need something." You look up the definition of the word need. It's probably not a word that you would look up the definition for, right? Everybody knows what need means. Well, here's the definition. To be in a condition or in a situation in which you must have something. You're somewhere, something's going on, and you just must have something. You require something right now. What kind of needs do you have? Somebody says, "Well, I need my coffee." You know, that is a requirement. Some of you are looking at me like, "Yes, sir, what are you going to preach about coffee tonight?" Some of you need your caffeine. Some of us are thankful that you've had your caffeine today and that you did not come here uncaffeinated, because that's sometimes not a pretty sight, because in reality you do need it, apparently. The elders and preachers met today at 2 p.m., There's some elders right now who are thinking, "I needed my afternoon nap. I missed my afternoon nap." There's some elders thinking, so if you got an elder sitting next to you and they doze off, that's why. They've been here since 2 o'clock this afternoon talking about 2017. What is it that you need? Somebody says, well, I need a new pair of shoes. I don't have, I've only got 47 pairs of shoes in the closet. It's been a week since I bought a new one. I need a new pair of shoes. What is it that you must have? What is it that you must, that you've just got to have? What does this song say? I need thee. I need God. I need Jesus. And as you think about that, He is the only one who can fill this need in my life. You know, there's some people who have become Christians and lived the Christian life, but they've gone down that path that we talked about this morning. They've gone down that path where at first they needed God, they relied upon God 100%, but as they went on in their Christian life, they started depending on Him less and less and less, to the point where they were trying to live the Christian life on their own. And then they decided, you know what, I don't need God. And they went out on their own. They don't realize that God is the only one who can fill that need in their life. They think they found something else. They think they found some other thing in life that can fill the greatest need in their heart, but there isn't one. Only God can fill that. I want you to look at this song. And there are four different ways that Annie Hawks directed or talked about Jesus. Four different titles that she uses for Jesus. When she says, I need thee, who is she talking to? Look in the first verse. I need thee, most gracious Lord. Isn't that an amazing way to think about Jesus? We think about Him as our Lord, but what kind of Lord is He? You know, there are some slaves who have lived on different manors and in different places where they had lords who lorded it over them, who let them know who was in charge, and were not very gracious. We serve a master. We have a Lord who is gracious toward us, who treats us in ways that we do not deserve, who has given us gifts that we do not deserve. Aren't you thankful, first of all, that we have a Lord? If it weren't for our Lord, we wouldn't have a clue how to live. We wouldn't have a clue what to do. We wouldn't have a clue about heaven and how to get there. We have a Lord who has given us instructions about how to live, but we have a gracious Lord who, when we make mistakes, picks us up and forgives us when we ask for it. Aren't you glad that when we sing the song, I Need Thee, we're saying, I need my gracious Lord. But that's not the only title that He's given in this song. Down in the next verse is described as in verse 4, I need thee, most holy one. Throughout the book of Isaiah, the Lord frequently is called the Holy One of Israel. But you might think about other verses that describe Jesus as the Holy One. That's who He is. Jesus is the ultimate one who has shown us how to live. He's the ultimate one who has set a life apart and shown us where to go and how we need to follow Him. But it's not only the most holy one described here. At the end of verse 4, He's described as thou blessed Son. He's the one we need to revere. He alone is the one that we need to honor. He's the one that we need. I need my gracious Lord. I need my Holy One. I need the blessed Son, and I need the end of, in the chorus, it says, I need my Savior. It's an interesting relationship that Jesus is not only our Lord, He is our Savior, both at the same time. Aren't you glad that Jesus is your Savior? How often do you need your Savior? Is it just in those bad times that you need your Savior? Is it only when we've sinned? Just when I've got a sin I need to get rid of, that's when I need my Savior. Aren't you glad, if you're a Christian tonight, aren't you glad that you have Jesus as your Savior? And what does this song say? I don't just need, I need thee. And I don't just need thee, I need thee every hour. Can you think of a time in your life when you did not need the Lord? Can you think, we're almost at the end of 2016, can you think of a time in 2016 when you did not need the Lord? We're almost at the end of this day. Can you think of an hour in this day when you did not need the Lord? Lord, I can't survive without you. I need you. I need you. There's not a condition. Think about the definition of need here. There is not a condition or a situation in my life where I don't need you, where I must not have you, where I do not require you. Do we really feel that way? I know we can get that up here. Yes, up here, intellectually, yes, I need him every hour. But do we get it in our hearts? Do we truly know and understand and feel, I need him? I need him all the time. I can't live without him. Can we say, as the refrain says, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come. I submit. I come submitting myself to you because I need you. Do you feel that way? You know, sometimes we are raised to be independent. Some parents do a good job in raising their children to be independent. Some parents have done a good job in raising their children to be dependent. And that's what we're seeing on the news today with a bunch of things going on around our country. We are raised, we are independent creatures. We think for ourselves. We act for ourselves. But we cannot be independent of our God. We must be dependent on Him. We must rely on Him. We must come to know, I cannot live without Him. I need Him. Now, I want us to look briefly at these four verses tonight, and I want us to see four things that I need from my God, as Annie Hawks described them in these four verses. And I want you to think, do I really need this? Do I have this? What do I need to do to obtain this? In that first verse, she says, I need thy peace. Look at how she describes this. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. And then this statement is kind of hard to understand. It's poetic, and it's got all the verbs and the nouns out of whack. It's almost like a Yoda statement where you got to rearrange the words to get them in an order that makes sense. She says, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. What does that mean? That means that the tender voice of our Lord, the tender words of our Lord, give us peace like no other. You're not going to find a peace like the peace of Jesus. And you will not find a peace like the peace that comes from the voice of our Savior. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about if you were there. You remember when the disciples in Matthew 14 had rowed 3 or 4 miles out into the Sea of Galilee, and it was the middle of the night, sometime in the middle of the night, after 4 a.m., they were out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee in the midst of a storm with waves and rain all around them. And you remember where Jesus was? Jesus had been up on the mountain. He had gone up there to pray by himself. And the Bible says he had looked out in the midst of the sea. He saw them straining at rowing 3 or 4 miles out in the middle of the night, out in the midst of a storm. And he went to them walking on the water. And at first they were fearful. And I want you to imagine being the disciples, fearing that they see a ghost. And they hear the voice of Jesus say, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. What happens if you're one of the disciples? What happens to that fear that you just had? It's gone. What happened to the physical storm that was all around you and how concerned you were about it? You're not worried about it anymore. Why? Because you've heard the voice of Jesus. And there's no peace that comes like the peace that comes with the voice of Jesus. I want you to imagine being that woman in Matthew chapter 9. That woman who had had a flow, an issue of blood for 12 years, had exhausted every means by which she could be healed, had exhausted apparently her financial means, going to every physician she could in order that she might be healed, and she was no better, and she was now poor. She thought in her mind, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Jesus has this great crowd of people around him, as he always did. And the Bible says that she pressed her way through the crowd to reach Jesus, and she just touched his garment. And immediately she felt the power of Jesus come through her body and heal her of her disease. Imagine being this woman as she tried to shrink back into the crowd. You know the story when the Bible says that Jesus stopped. I want you to imagine being this woman. You just touched Jesus and you thought he wouldn't notice. You thought he'd just continue on his way. You thought nobody else would pay attention. You just touched the hem of his garment. You're trying to shrink back, and now he stopped. Uh-oh. Maybe he did notice. And he turns around. What are you doing now? You're trying to hide behind all of the tall people in front of you. And you hear him say, "Who touched me?" Do you see her raising her hand? Do you see her volunteering? "Oh, it was me. I hope it was okay." No, you see this woman shrinking back in the crowd. "Oh, please don't look at me." You ever been in one of those situations where you're not trying to make eye contact with somebody? Somebody asks you a question and you're like, "I don't know. What are you trying to say? I'm not sure. Who are you looking at? You're not looking at me, are you?" Not trying to make, "Don't make eye contact with me. Who touched me?" Remember what the disciples said? "What do you mean, who touched you? Look at this throng of people around you. You ask who touched you, everybody's touching you." Finally, this woman comes forward. I want you to imagine being this woman. Not dealing with some storm like those disciples were, a literal storm, but dealing with the storms of life that have been raging in her life for a dozen years. And I want you to imagine her hearing Jesus say, "Be of good cheer." You know the next word? "Be of good cheer, daughter." Oh, that's cool. "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." I want you to imagine hearing the voice of Jesus and the peace that would come over her, hearing Jesus talk to her that way. Physical storms, literal storms, the storms of life. How about the storms of doubt, the storms of sorrow, the storms of fear? I want you to imagine being those disciples in that room after Jesus had been crucified. After you had seen your Lord, your Master, your friend nailed to that cross. How you had gone not one day, now you've gone 2 days, now you've gone to the third day. And I want you to imagine being those disciples in John chapter 20 and gathering together in that room. Not sure. The Bible says they were locked in there. They had shut the doors out of fear. They are gathered there out of fear. They're gathered there with sorrow in their hearts over the things that had transpired. And I want you to imagine being them when Jesus walks in and says, "Peace be with you." What happened to that fear? It's gone. You know why? Because no tender voice like thine can peace afford. And we pick up this book and we forget what a treasure we have. We pick up this book and we hear the voice of Jesus. No matter what you're going through, no matter what storms are raging in your life, how often do we allow the voice of Jesus to give us peace? How often do we pick up His Word and allow it to transform our lives? The passage on that first point in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." And then the very next verse says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly." You think those are two different things? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Those two things go together. And the more I let the Word of God dwell in me richly, guess what is going to happen? The more the peace of God will rule in my heart. Brethren, we need to say to God, "I need Thee every hour. And I need Thy peace. And I need Thy peace from that comes from Thy voice." But look in verse number 2, where she says, "I need Thy power." This is one of my favorite verses of the song. I need thy power over temptation. I love this statement in that she has in verse 2. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. Isn't that true? Temptations. Are temptations powerful? If they wouldn't be tempting, they wouldn't have power if they weren't tempting, right? I mean, the very word itself means they've got some sort of power and temptation to them. But think about that statement. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. So how does it start? Stay with me. Lord, stay beside me. Because there come these temptations in my life. And don't you know, Lord, if you were beside me, they wouldn't have the power that they do. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, the Bible says, there's no temptation overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And then these three words, God is faithful. He's not going to allow you. He's faithful. He's not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear, but He will with that temptation also make a way of escape. You know, sometimes I've imagined that way of escape that God provides. Have you ever watched these movies or these TV shows where they're spies, they're secret agents, they're infiltrating a facility, and they need a door opened. You know, and so they've got these earbuds in, maybe they've got these video comms going on, so they need this door open. So they say to this guy who's off in some safe place, right? He's off, but he's got the computer. And he's got the computer, you know, the one with all the screens that shows all the video feeds coming in. And they say, I need this door open. And so what does he do? Boom, he hits a button, and what does the door do? Opens right up. Sometimes I've imagined that's God. And when I need a way of escape, hits a button, vroom, He opens a door. But that's so wrong. You know why? Because that envisions that God is in some distant place far off from me, you know, and all He's doing is watching me on some little computer screen. When God provides the way of escape, guess where He is? He's right there beside me. When Jesus provides, you know why temptations lose their power? Because when He's right there. Can you imagine if Jesus was there in the Garden of Eden? Would Eve have eaten that fruit? When Satan said, oh, you shall not surely die, and Jesus was standing right next to her, what do you think she would have done? You think she would have looked over him? Ooh, this is not a good idea. He's standing right there. When he leaves, maybe so, but he's standing right there. This isn't a good idea. What about the worst temptation, the worst sin that was ever committed? Remember the person that was said it would have been better if he was never born? Remember the person that was said about? What if when Judas went and was conspiring with the religious leaders for how much he would receive for betraying Jesus, and as they were working out the payment of 30 pieces, what if Jesus was standing right there? Think that would have affected Judas at all? Well, guys, we really can't talk about this right now because, you know, he's standing right next to me. Why? Temptations lose their power if Jesus is right there with us. Well, isn't he? Isn't he always right there with us? And if we would think about that, there's a verse over in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 that says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Do you believe that? Do you believe the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations? How does He know that? Did He read it in an instruction manual somewhere? Is that how He knows? Well, I just read the instruction manual. Now I know how to deliver you out. Did He get it out of a fortune cookie? Well, I know how to deliver you out of temptation. Now I got it in a fortune cookie. How does He know how to deliver us out of temptation? It's His very nature. He didn't have to be taught. He didn't have to learn it. It's His very nature to know how to deliver us. And that's the Lord we have standing right there beside us. And when we recognize that the Lord is always with us, we will realize that we have a strong power that's there to deliver us. One of my favorite passages, that in that passage that was read in Hebrews chapter 2, I want you to think about what this passage says about Jesus in the closing verses of Hebrews chapter 2. Where it says in verse 7, therefore, in all things, in everything, Jesus had to be made like His brethren. He had to be made like His brethren. Why? So that He could be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and so that He could make propitiation for the sins of the people. Look in verse 18. For in that Jesus himself has suffered. How did he suffer? Because he was tempted. Jeff talked about it tonight, how he was tempted by the devil. Jesus was tempted, verse chapter 4, verse 15, in all points like as we are. Jesus suffered temptation. Why did he go through those temptations? What does verse 18 say? So that he is able to aid those who are tempted. We have the one who overcame every temptation standing beside us with the power to deliver us from every temptation that comes our way if we will just trust in him. If we will just turn to the side, not to some distant place, we will just turn to the side and say, I need thee right now. The devil's got my number. The devil's pushing my every button I've got. The devil's trying me, Lord, I need you. Do you think he's going to put you on hold? Do you think you're going to hear a recording that says, you are now number 56 in line. Your call will be answered in 7 minutes. You think you're going to get that? No, I need you. I need you right now. And he will make a way of escape. Temptations lose their power when he's nigh. Look at verse 3. I need, she says, and in summary, I need thy presence in all circumstances. Verse 3, I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. Life is vain. Without Jesus, life is absolutely pointless. Has no purpose. Without Jesus, your life is absolutely worthless. And that's why Paul would say in Philippians 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ. That's all that matters. If it's not for Christ, it's worthless. It's pointless beyond that. And so it is his presence that helps us to find true joy in life. It is his presence that helps us to endure the trials of life. It is his presence that helps us to endure the pain and the trials of life. If he wasn't with us, we couldn't survive. That's what Annie Hawks said made her write this song. Is when she began to realize, how can people live without Jesus? How can they go through their life, whatever kind of life it is, how can they live without Jesus? If we would come to realize that, no matter what kind of life we have, he's going to help us find true joy. He's going to help us to endure any trials or pain or sufferings that come our way. Help me with this verse. You know this verse. I want you to help me with four words in this verse. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know that verse, right? You've heard that verse before. You ever been there? You ever walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Yea, though I walk in the worst place possible. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not going to fear anything. I will fear no evil. For, here's the reason. I'm walking in the worst place possible. I'm not going to fear any evil. Why? Four words. For thou art with me. What do I have to fear? I need thy presence, Lord. I need thy presence. In joy or pain, just come quickly and abide just as you promised to do. And he's promised that he'll always be with us. Do we need him? Is there ever an hour that we don't need him? I need him in my life. You need him in your life. When the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 18 was in the city of Corinth and as things were transpiring around him, Jesus took that opportunity to say to Paul, do not fear, for I am with you. God says that to us. Do not fear. I'm with you. And then in verse 4, I need thy possession of my soul. Look at what this verse says. I need thee every hour. Most Holy One, oh, make me thine indeed. Make me thine. Take possession of me. Make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. There is no greater blessing in this life than to belong to Jesus. If you don't belong to Jesus, you don't know what real life is all about. You don't know what true blessings are all about. Ephesians 1 says that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Well, you don't have any spiritual blessings if you're not in Christ, if you don't belong to him. But when I belong to him, He helps me in making godly choices. I don't belong to myself. I belong to Him. I've been bought at a price. And therefore, what do I seek to do when I realize I don't belong to myself? I seek to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 6, in my body and my spirit, which belong to Him. They don't belong to me. They belong to Him. And when I think about that blessing of belonging to Him, it gives me confidence to live. Paul was in the midst of a literal storm in Acts 27. It did not look hopeful at all, except the Lord had made him a promise that no one would perish. And when Paul talked to those people on board, he talked to them about his relationship with his Savior. And he talked about the fact that I belong to Him and I serve Him. He was not ashamed of either of those two things. If you and I would come in our hearts to say, I'm not ashamed to rely on God. I'm not ashamed to say, I need Thee every hour. I'm not ashamed for Him to possess me, for me to belong to Him. Then I will come to know the greatest life there is on this earth. I want you to look at number 288. Nate, I forgot to embed this song in the slide, so if you'll go ahead and put number 288 on the screen. The word need is found 16 times in this song. How much do we need the Lord? Every hour, I think, is found 8 times in this song. I want you to think about these words, and I want us to sing them together as we close this lesson out. And as we sing this song, I want us in our hearts, sound check tonight, I want us in our hearts to truly say to the Lord, I need Thee every hour. And if you want to emphasize the word need every time we sing it, every 16 times we sing it, might help our hearts to realize just how much we rely upon Him. Let's think about these words as we sing them together.
I need Thee every hour, most precious Lord. No tender voice like mine can be support. I need Thee, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior.
about your life, do you belong to Him? Are you tonight, are you His? Can you say that you're one of His children? Can you say that Jesus is your Lord? That He is your Savior? Tonight, if you're not one of His children, we want to give you an opportunity to do just what they did in the New Testament. To not do anything different than what they did described for us in the New Testament. Following the words of Jesus, they believed with all of their heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for their sins on that cross. Not for His sins, He didn't have any. Died for the sins of the world. Took them upon Himself, became the sin offering in order that all man might have the opportunity to be made right in the eyes of God. Was buried in that tomb, raised the third day. If you believe that tonight, John 1 verses 11 and 12 says you've got the right to become a child of God. You're not there yet. But you've got the right. God has given you the right to become one of His children. If you'll just turn away from sin, make up your mind. I'm done with this. I'm done with sinful living. To make up your mind, I'm going to stop doing wrong and start doing right. Turn my life over to God. The Bible says if you would do that and confess the faith that you have that Jesus is the Son of God, then you can follow the example of every New Testament conversion in the Bible to be baptized for the remission of every one of your sins, to let the blood of Jesus wash away your sins, to let God add you to His church, to let God register your name in heaven, to give your life to Him, not to live alone, but to live with Him, and to be able to say to Him, I need You. I need You every hour. I cannot be faithful. Some of us are trying to be faithful without the Lord. Not going to work. Some of us are trying to say, I've got this on my own. I can take care of it. Not going to work. But to be walking faithfully side by side with Him for the rest of our lives. Are you a Christian tonight? Are you a faithful Christian tonight? If we can help you, would you come right now as together we stand and sing?